You know, if this market has taught us anything, it's you got to be resilient, right? It's just, you have to be resilient because this market is more challenging and a little bit tougher and comes with more issues than maybe the one from a few years ago. So that's why I reached out to Valerie Burton. Valerie Burton understands this. She just wrote a book on it, The Rules of Resilience, to help you win. And we're going to look at three big ones: expecting the expected, focusing on vision, not the obstacle, and then finding opportunity in the challenge. You'll leave with ideas and strategies that you can implement today so you can align your goals with your values and overcome anything.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to hang out with us. We're doing what we do, which is talk to elite people who are doing elite things. And we have the elite of the elite of the elite today, because Valerie Burton has been able to hang out with us before. We had her at Elevate at Disney World and gave a great session. We sent a copy of one of Valerie's books to every one of our Inspire members as their holiday gift last year, the book It's About Time. And as I've gotten to know you here over the last year or so, I just am blown away by what you do. And we're going to talk about your new book that's out called Rules of Resilience, 10 Ways Successful People Get Better, Wiser, and Stronger, which our real estate community needs right now. It's a tougher market than it has been. Valerie, thank you for joining us. We're so thankful to have you. Can you just tell people about you, who you are, where you are, and what you do?
Yes, James, it's so good to be with you again. And I love all the people in your community because of their enthusiasm and their thirst for growth. I completely connect with that myself. I have been a personal and executive coach now for over 20 years. My company is the Coaching and Positive Psychology Institute. We simply call it the CAP Institute. And so we train personal and executive coaches. We train leaders, business owners, all sorts of people that understand the value of coaching and want to incorporate those coaching skills. And all of this started with my purpose of inspiring people to live more fulfilling lives and to do it through writing and speaking. So Rules of Resilience is my 14th book. I'm so excited about it. It just came out in the last couple of weeks and made the USA Today bestseller list. So I've not done that before. So this is a, this is a pretty exciting time.
That is awesome. It could be all the extra copies I ordered for our Elevate. It's not, but we're happy. Everyone who came to Elevate, all 350 of them who came to Elevate earlier this year, got a copy of your book that I'd pre-ordered for them. So yeah, thank you for pouring into everybody. I so appreciate it. And by the way, Valerie's a great follow on Instagram, just Valerie Burton, if you want to follow her, but I do, and I get good stuff from it. You give 10 rules of resilience. There are three that I'd like to ask you about today, if that's all right. I think three that apply to our community specifically, because the real estate space is a little bit tougher right now than it has been. Home sales are down and kind of flat. It's just taking more leads and more effort. I mean, resilience is something a successful real estate agent needs right now. And you start with the first rule is expect the unexpected. And we're in that time of year that we start to think about our goals for the upcoming year. And we're, you know, reflecting on what happened this year and thinking about how next year is going to be so perfect. And yet maybe we need to expect for things not to go the way we want. Would you agree?
Well, a big part of resilience is being able to think ahead about what could go wrong. Not that you're hyper-focused on it, but that you're ready to handle it if things don't go exactly as planned. Because a big piece of resilience is something I call preventive choices, which is asking yourself, basically, you know, looking back, what will I wish I had done? So when you're thinking about some of those scenarios that might not go as planned, making sure that you're ready. And it's not just about being ready for the bad things that might happen. Expecting the unexpected is also being ready when good stuff happens. So if suddenly the market takes off, are you in the best position to be able to seize on that opportunity? So resilience really is needed for both, for the negatives that can happen, as well as the positives.
Okay, that's a good point, because we could have some unexpected great things come our way in addition to some unexpected challenges.
Yeah.
How do you balance this being positive, but also dealing with the negative and yet trying to keep moving? What would you suggest around that?
Well, I think what's really important is the planning and not being afraid to admit when there are risks, when things don't look the way you might like for them to look. I think a lot of people, there's another rule in the book I call don't pretend, don't defend. And sometimes we pretend like things are okay that aren't. So you might continue to engage in the same strategies, the same approaches that you used in a different market Whereas if you would say right now, this is not the typical market, this is not the ideal. So what do I need to do differently? What is it that people are doing differently that still manage to thrive and to be successful in this season? I think that's really, really important. And sometimes, just especially if you're highly optimistic, mm-hmm. it can be very easy to just kind of hope for the best as opposed right. to saying, yeah, I hope for the best. However, it's not looking like the best right now. And I think it's very important, like I said, to not hyper focus on the fact that maybe the majority are struggling, but to be asking for those who aren't struggling right now, who are still managing to hit goals, what are they doing differently? This is one of the ways the most successful people think differently. They're always asking that question, because you can be in a really bad market and still manage to survive it and perhaps even thrive. Not necessarily thrive the way you would if everybody was doing great, but you could right. really be in that top 5%.
Sure.
But you have to do some things differently, and your job is to research what that looks like.
It's a good point. We have a lot of people inside of our community who are coming to stuff that are actually having great years because, you know, the state of the market is irrelevant to the individual. Some people are going to have the best year they've ever had. Others are going to have the worst year they've ever had, and everything in between. So we can succeed. I'm wondering if right now, as we're in kind of the fourth quarter of the year and we're thinking about this year and preparing for next, are there some good reflection questions that we should ask ourselves so that we can maybe anticipate challenges that may come? Like, how do we leverage our experience from this year to help us as we move toward a new one?
Well, the first thing is you do just that, you leverage it. So the way that, you know, the subtitle of the book is 10 Ways Successful People Get Better, Wiser, and Stronger. So the premise already is you are successful. You've succeeded in a lot of ways. How do you get better, wiser, stronger? One of the things you do is always take wisdom. Wisdom's a gift. Glean wisdom from the difficulties. So if you look back, for example, over this last year, what's the most meaningful lesson that you've learned? And then going into next year, how are you going to apply that lesson? Those are two really powerful coaching questions. And it's possible that there's more than one lesson, but start with the one that stands out the most, so that you can then apply it as you move forward. That's how you keep getting better. Not just going through the challenge, but actually growing through it. What we know ends up happening is, and the research bears this out, is that when you grow through your challenges, you actually expand your ability to deal with adversity and to deal with stress. And then you never go back to the smaller version of you. Now you're expanded. Now you're able to handle more and to attract more of that opportunity to yourself. So you want to be finding your unique wisdom out of the challenges that you've been going through.
And so smart. This is all out of Valerie's newest book, Rules of Resilience, 14 books she's written. So we'll give a gold star to anybody who reads all 14. But the but the lessons in this one are really profound and helpful for our community today. I want to go to jump ahead to rule number 3. Which is focus on vision, not the obstacle. And I like that because we all kind of have this idea of where we want to go, mm-hmm. and then roadblocks come in. This is common. This happens to anybody that's pursuing a goal. And so we face these challenges. So if we're to be focused on vision, though, when the obstacle's right in front of us, I feel like that would be hard. It would be easy to see the challenge or the issue or the problem and maybe forget about the vision. So how do we keep the vision up front?
Yeah. So when you forget about the vision, generally that means you're getting off course. Things are distracting you. When you start focusing on just the obstacle starts to appear bigger and it actually begins to obstruct your vision, where you're going, what are those goals? So it's very important, even though the vision is there, you're not ignoring, even though the obstacle is there, you're not ignoring the obstacle. But you're glancing up every once in a while. Where am I heading? One of the most important questions you can ask yourself when you get stuck ruminating on the problem, talking about it with everybody. Oh, look at this market. Look at the interest rates. You know, I'm not getting the number of calls I used to get. I don't have the number of listings. If you focus too much on that, that obstacle becomes so large, it's hard to even see the vision. when you look up at the vision, you put the obstacle into perspective. So one of the most important questions you can ask when you start over-focusing is, what do you want? Mm. Because typically when we over-focus on the obstacle, we're focused on what we don't want to happen. So when you say, what do I want? If you think about this, even like in a relationship where perhaps something is not going well, you're frustrated with the person, what they said, what they did, and that's all you're talking about. And you go, well, what do you want? Okay, maybe you want joy in that relationship. Maybe you want an understanding. Maybe you want peace. Then you begin saying, okay, so what might I do next in order to have that, right? You actually start getting answers. So the vision is really important. I highly recommend making sure that you've written it and that you have a visual representation of it somewhere that you see often. Like people joke about vision boards, they work because it's a very simple way to continually have in front of you where it is that you're going. So even on those days when the obstacle feels really big and you're very frustrated, you're looking up going, but this is where I'm headed. And what might be the best next step if this is where I'm going? Like, even if I'm stuck way over here, I realize, you know what? I need to do an about face. I'm too focused on the negative right now. Or I need to call that fellow realtor who is going in the same direction that I am. We're friends. They can help me put things into perspective. Like, be very intentional about making sure you don't lose sight of your vision.
And it seems like that the goal that you've set is really important. And it's something we've talked about a lot, that if we just set a goal to set a goal, hey, this year I want to sell 48 houses, but there's no meaning behind it. There's no purpose. There's no reason for you to pursue it. Then it's easier to get sidetracked or delayed or stopped by an obstacle. But if you have a purpose for your goal, hey, my 48 homes allows me to do these things, your vision, if you will, exactly, you seem to be much more likely to be able to move through an obstacle. Would you agree with that? And what advice would you give about goal setting so it's in alignment with who you are?
Yeah. So purpose fuels perseverance. So understanding why you're doing what you're doing and being very clear about that is essential. So one of the most important goal setting strategies, and this comes straight from the positive psychology research around it, is that values must drive your goals. Values. What are your values? Values are simply what you deem as important, right? It's what you value. And so if you realize I've got this particular goal, the basis of this goal is going to give me more freedom. It's going to give me more flexibility. Maybe it gives me time with my family. Maybe it allows me to have certain experiences that are very important to me. Mm-hmm. That then fuels your perseverance. So yes, vision has to be rooted in purpose. And that makes it a whole lot easier. And you know, I've been in business for myself now since 1997. And that first business, while it used my gift around communication, it was a PR firm, it didn't tap into my sense of purpose, right? Inspiring people to live more fulfilling lives. And I did well with the business, but every time I tried to create a vision, it didn't pull me forward. It lasted for a little while, but it was all external things, how much money I could make, or, oh, we'll get this type of client. When I tapped into what I do now, which is for me, like a calling, I mean, it was hard the first several years, especially, but I never gave up on it. I knew I couldn't because the values were so well aligned. And I think this is true for every single one of us, if we can get clear about those values. So if your goal is not totally aligned with your values, that's an opportunity. How could you tweak the goal so that it is, right? You don't have to throw the whole thing out, but do you understand why this goal matters for you, for your family, and for your future?
Seems really important. What I will say about you is that it's clear that you are living your mission, your purpose, and your values. I've had the opportunity over the last several years to hire many, many, many speakers to come in and talk to our people. The event you came to had 9 or 10 keynote speakers that came and spoke to everybody. And I've hired many. And I can always tell if this person is fulfilling their mission and their value and what they're about, or if they're there to pick up a check. Mm. And there's a different vibe to it, totally. Before the event, during the event, and after the event. Like, you didn't have to do this. You did this to be kind to our community. You're not being paid for it. It's just this is just who you are and what you're about, where others would not be. I feel like people can tell what your values are, if it's collecting a check or if it's really supporting others. And it's clear that you're about supporting others.
Thank you.
Had to overcome a lot to be able to do it, because, you know, this is your 14th book and your first bestseller, but it wasn't easy. You've wanted to write books for a long time, and you talk about it in here.
Yeah.
Rejection, rejection, rejection. So talk about pursuing your values, pursuing your goals in the face of obstacles where people are telling you no, no, no. How do you keep pushing about what's important to you?
Well, getting clarity about what's important and what really matters. I mean, even when you mentioned the bestseller, I was, it's on my vision board, but it's always been if it happens, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Because a lot of times those lists aren't necessarily the books that have sold the most. I've had books that have sold quite a bit more than ones that are on national lists, but it is nice to get recognized for the work that you're doing. Like, we all enjoy that. But if that becomes the reason for it, it's never going to be enough, right? And so understanding extrinsic motivation, those outside factors, they can motivate you. But when things get really hard, you need the intrinsic motivation. The things that you would do, whether you got external validation, the external rewards or not, because it just matters to you. And the values are things like I mentioned, freedom and flexibility, but it might be creativity, it might be excellence, it might be family, it might be that sense of contribution. But if you can get clarity about what really matters, it just, when things get hard, you go, well, it's worth it, right? Yeah. it may not be worth pushing through a whole lot of challenges. It may not be worth, you know, making less money for a period of time if all you're going to get on the other side of it is an external reward that doesn't matter so much to you. But if you understand, looking back 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you'll be really glad that you stuck with it. If you know that, then you've tapped into something that you really value. Mm-hmm. And so just take some time to get clear about that. And watch how it fuels you, how it energizes you to persevere until you get to that goal or that vision.
So good. There are 10 rules of resilience in your book. We're only doing 3, and I want to get to the third one, which is actually rule number 8, find opportunity in the challenge.
Yes.
And I think this is I picked this one because, again, our community is facing a lot of challenges in the market, and yet opportunity shows up at times like this if you can look for it.
Yeah.
And resilience requires you to, as you say, you have to choose how to interpret these challenges. That's what resilience is. So how do we do that? What's a good way to look at a challenge and not get stuck in the negative around it and actually see a positive opportunity from it?
Yeah, I think this is really important. So I want to make something really clear, which is, you know, sometimes we go through things and like we would not wish to go through them. If we could undo it, we would, right? So it doesn't mean that what you're going through is positive because you're looking for an opportunity. It simply means that you literally believe that in the midst of it, there's an opportunity for you to grow. There's an opportunity that somehow can make your situation better or make you better. So coach yourself with that question. What's the opportunity in this challenge? Right now in this marketplace, it may be the opportunity to be creative. It may be the opportunity for you to finally really overcome your fear of rejection, because you're going to have to reach out a whole lot more than you used to. And you realize that, you know what, in a big up market, you don't have to do that as much. And so now it's the opportunity to overcome your own fear, right? To find your courage. So being able to ask that question and answer it allows you to identify where you may have a growth gap, for example, that you have the opportunity to close. Sometimes it's our opportunity to get to know someone better. Or for me, I've had opportunities that allowed me to be more compassionate or allowed me to just decide, you know what? I just got to be tenacious. I just have to make up my mind that this goal is not optional and I will reach it. And then you discover what you're really made of. And that may be the opportunity and the challenge, whether you would choose to have that opportunity or not. It is what it is right now. How do you want to show up? Who do you want to be? And when you look back, how do you want to have grown as a result of the opportunity that's in front of you?
It sounds like what you're saying is that being resilient is a decision.
It's a choice that we
consciously make in the moment. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a decision. The foundation of the book is this idea that resilience is a personal system you have. It's basically rooted in these three pillars. It's your adaptive thinking, what you're saying to yourself, rooted in your thoughts, your belief system, your attitude. It's your protective resources, those outside things you can call on that help you to be more resilient. It might be the financial cushion or people and connections that you have. And then it's those preventive choices, which is, you know, how do you make it less likely in the future that you even have adversity to deal with in the first place? It's being very intentional about how you set your life up. And so ultimately, we want to strengthen that system. And when I think about resilience, I'm thinking about how can you intentionally create a more resilient life so that when these things come, because they do, right? Unexpected things happen all the time. When they do, you're ready and you can handle it.
As we wrap up, what's something you've learned over your years of experience in working with entrepreneurs and leaders and others that are pursuing their goals and yet overcoming challenges? What's something that you've learned that you want everyone to get from our conversation?
There are two. One, I just mentioned those adaptive skills and how you think. This is the part you can change the fastest. Like if there's something that we've said here in this conversation that resonated, how could you keep that thought in front of you? Whether it's finding the opportunity and the challenge, or, you know, maybe it's, ooh, I should expect the unexpected. If I do, then I like create a system that helps me to deal with the unexpected when it comes. So I'm not, you know, overwhelmed. I'm like, oh yeah, this is normal. Let me keep going. Or maybe it's the fact that we said, hey, you got to make a decision. But what's most important is to understand the fastest thing you can change is your thoughts. So decide right now how you want to show up and keep that vision in front of you so it pulls you forward when you get discouraged and the obstacle doesn't become so big to you that it's overwhelming. The second, James, I think that's really important is the highest level of resilience is being able to pay it forward. That when you get to the other side of the challenge, you have something of value that you can share that helps somebody else get through the challenge. And sometimes the somebody else is your family, it's your kids, sometimes it's people in your own community. But ultimately, we need a more resilient world. So I really believe that a big part of what we want to be able to do is get through our challenges and eventually get to that point where we're helping others. And we're really kind of an example, not the perfect model of resilience, but when people see us and how we show up, somehow they're also inspired to realize, hey, I can make it through. And so for me, I think that's really, really important. How do we pay it forward when we get to the other side of our challenges and not just keep this information to ourselves, but help our teams, help our families, and help our communities?
Well, that's what you're doing. You've taken your challenges and your life experience and you're sharing it with so many people. And I thank you for that. The book is Rules of Resilience, 10 Ways Successful People Get Better, Wiser, and Stronger. You can buy it wherever you buy books. Do we really have to tell people that in 2025? Where do you get your books? People ask me all the time, where do I get that? Where do you think you get it? But go get the book. Valerie, how can people connect with you if they'd love to learn more about you and stay connected to you?
Well, I'd love for them to connect with me on social media. It's at Valerie Burton. Of course, you see how it's spelled right there, like Valor. They can also go to valerieburton.com. And there are a lot of bonuses and some just really helpful resilience tools and guides that are free, even an assessment to help you determine where you have the most opportunity for growth when it comes to your resilience.
Valerie, thank you. This has been great. I appreciate you. You did such a great job at our Elevate event earlier this year. Thank you for visiting us again, and thanks for the book. We appreciate you very much.
James, I appreciate you, and thank you for allowing me to just be a part of this community and share with them around Rules of Resilience.
All right, good stuff from Valerie. So some quick application before we wrap up. Think about what's the most meaningful lesson you've learned this year and how can you apply it to next week. Just write it down. And then look at a current obstacle and ask, what's the opportunity inside of this? Because there is opportunity inside of every obstacle. Now, if this conversation helped you, I hope you will share it with someone, that you'll share it with somebody in your office or on your team or someone who's important to you, and then keep your vision in front of you so you can keep moving too. So glad that you're here. You know, we'd love to connect with you. You can jump on our morning call we do every day. It's a great mastermind. So if you're not part of that, we'd love to see you. You can join the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group to get more information on that, or go to jamesdshaw.com and click join our free daily call. And then finally, I'd love to connect with you on the socials as well. You'll find me on Instagram @JamesDshaw. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Have a good one. Bye-bye.